Annie Dillard is an author who writes a lot. She writes about faith, and she writes about what the implications are of following Jesus in this world. And a very wise and really very simple observation she makes in one of her books is this. How we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. What we do with this hour and that one is what we are doing with our lives. I first read that a long time ago, but came across it just recently, and it captured my attention. And while it's not a blockbuster insight, it's really an important awareness to have. How we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. Days accumulate into months, and then years, and decades. And that becomes our life, and how we spend it. And how we've used this very precious but very limited gift we have called life. Choices we make each day, things we choose not to do or things that we choose to do, these influence the overall course of our life, and it turns out to be our whole life that is made. How we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. What we do with this hour and that one is what we are doing with our lives. So what are we doing with these precious hours and days that we have, including this day? How are we using this gift of life that comes to us, that is fleeting and precious? Are we being wise and intentional about the daily patterns that we have, patterns that turn into routines, that turn into habits, that deepen a groove in the path of our life? Over the next 8 weeks, we're going to be working with this theme, how we spend our days. And while I don't have the topics listed in the bulletin today, which would have been helpful, here's a little glimpse of how we spend our days. Today, seeking God's kingdom. Next week, growing in faith. And the following week, not being afraid, and so on. How we spend our days. My hope is to encourage us, myself included, to spend our days thoughtfully and wisely, pursuing the things of God in amongst all the other array of things that we pursue day by day by day. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 and follow along and listen as I read from Matthew 6, 25 through 34, part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the 1980s, Bobby McFerrin released a song that quickly went up to the top of the charts. It's a song that many of you may well remember. "Don't Worry, Be Happy." It's like pure candy. It's sweet, it's light, it's fun, it's a catchy tune. And here's how it begins. "Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. A nice, catchy song by a very gifted musician, Bobby McFerrin. Now, if only life worked that way. Don't worry, be happy, as if, oh, I hadn't thought about that. Now, sometimes we know we can get into sort of a shallow groove with worry. A shallow groove. Worrying about things that really aren't all that worrisome. Like crabgrass in the lawn. And sometimes what we really do need is a cheerful reminder to lighten up. Don't worry, be happy. Sometimes. But that's not what this passage is about that I read from Matthew 6. And that's not what I've been thinking and praying about in approach to our time today this morning. In Matthew 6, when Jesus said, "Don't worry about your life," and then referenced worry four more times in this text, this wasn't about shallow grooves of worry, about crabgrass. This is about life worries. Will I or this one I love survive cancer? Will my marriage that is strained stay intact? Will this one that I love ever leave those destructive addictions? Will I make next month's rent or mortgage payment because there's nothing coming in? Those are life worries. You've got your own list. Maybe I touched on one of them here. And within these types of things, don't worry, be happy doesn't work. Doesn't touch it. The word Jesus used for worry in this text that I read can be also translated as anxious, having a sense of dread, being inordinately consumed by concern. Not just thinking about something, but consumed by it. Unable to get out from under it, sometimes with very good reason, because these things are real and they are pressing and they are threatening. And what happens, we know this, is worry can then dominate everything. I think it's very interesting that that our word for worry comes from the old English word, virgin. Virgin. Which means to strangle. It's also interesting that there's another use of that word, worry. It's what animals can do to each other. When a dog, for instance, clamps its jaws around the neck of a rabbit and it shakes its head, that's called worrying. Breaking the neck, strangling. We see our puppy doing this with this little stuffed rabbit we have that he'll pick up and he'll just shake it. Does it instinctively. Worry can do this to us. It can shake the life out of us. It can strangle us. Strangling out joy, peace, hope, health. For me, when I am clutched by worry, I feel like tight bands around my chest. And I clench my jaws. In the first decade of ministry, I cracked 3 molars at night by clenching and grinding. And headaches, and my shoulder knots up, and I get a knot back here and sometimes elsewhere. What happens with you with worry? Don't worry, be happy. It just doesn't work. I wish I could tell you that I knew an easy 3-step process for effectively taking care of worry. And I wish that I had some silver bullet scripture text that could be always used every time for dealing with worry. But I don't have either. But I do have this. And I believe that it's well anchored in the very things Jesus said in this text that I just read a few minutes ago from Matthew 6. And I believe that it's well anchored in this sacred meal that we're being invited to today. It's 3 things. 3 R words. Remember, release, and rest. Remember, release, and rest. First one, remember. This is a word, it's a command that runs all the way through Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. We're told to remember, to remember, to remember. Remember who God is and what God has done. What God has promised. Remember, remember, remember. Remember that He has created you. That He delivered His people from slavery in Egypt. Remember that in the wilderness He brought water out of solid rock and He dropped manna from heaven. Remember, this is our God and He's not gone away. Remember Jesus. Remember why He came. Remember what He did. Remember what He invites everyone to receive. Remember that He promised, I am with you always, no matter what, to the very end of time. I am with you. Remember that He said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you peace, my peace I give to you. Remember. It's more than saying, oh yeah, God did do that one time, way back then. Biblically, it's used in reference to rekindling a memory. And that word rekindling, like lighting a fire that then spreads. As one theologian puts it, in that rekindling, we then allow ourselves to be present to what's promised. As in, this very same God who did that is present here and can do things beyond what we can ask or imagine. That's remembering. A good thing to do would be to find a concordance, look up that word remember, and then go to those passages in Scripture and be reminded. And to find out what God tells us to remember, to come back to, have rekindled in us. As we come to this table today, we'll hear these words of Jesus recorded by Paul, where Jesus said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Remember. It means remembering the whole salvation story. And all the powerful, unexpected, and otherwise completely impossible things that God has done throughout all of history, including what He can do today. Remember. Don't forget. Remember. Don't let this slip to the back burner. Live life remembering this. The kingdom of God is present. He is present. Seek first all of this, Jesus said. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's remembering. The second word is release. By this I mean releasing things over to God and His will, including those strangling worries that we have. When I was in Texas a couple weeks ago for meetings, a friend of mine led worship for the group that I was part of. And one evening he invited us, as we were seated in the chapel, just to open our hands and our laps. And with our open hands, then to picture somebody we were worried about, somebody we were concerned about, to pull up their face, their voice, to visualize them in our hands. And then he said, now lift your hands just a little bit as a way to lift them to God. And then he said, now turn your hands over as a way of saying, they belong to you. They're yours. Hold them, lift them, release them into God. He led us through a variety of things like this, including the things that we worry about, that we worry about. Hold them, lift them, release them. It's not meant to be just a technique, but another mode of praying actively. Very fitting with Jesus' words about seeking first God's kingdom and His righteousness. As that verse is paraphrased in the message, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. As you think about holding and lifting and releasing our own worries and those we worry about. Remember, release, and then rest. It's not kicking back in a lawn chair. Instead, it's an active way of remembering and releasing and then living into the trustworthiness of God. Psalm 116 puts it this way. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. It's what Jesus said a bit further in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew 11. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Rest. Among other things, it means that we can simply stop for a while. To back off from trying to fix, manage, arrange, resolve things. Because we remember who it is we live before. God who loves us, God who provides, and who intervenes, and who has given us Jesus. And now we've released those worries and those people, those things, over to Him. To Him whose will is admittedly way beyond anything we can imagine. But to Him who is trustworthy, and whose kingdom is here, and who loves us, and who loves every one of us. Remember, release, rest. So as we go about our days, knowing that how we spend each day ends up being how we spend our lives, I hope we use our days remembering and releasing and resting in all the promises and all the realities of what it means to be followers of Jesus, to be people, the people of God. And now as we come to the table for communion, and as we bend our knees or bow our heads at the kneeling rail for anointing, remember why we're doing this. Remember that we've been invited to be here. That God has called us to come as we are, just as we are. It's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus who saves us, who loves us, who is with us and has called us His own. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, You know that we all have those things that can be strangling with the power of worry. And You know that we can quickly pull to mind people who we're really worried about. And we ask for Your intervention. Your intervention in our lives and in the lives of others, that You would intervene in loving and powerful ways, in ways that we can't even imagine what You might do, and that You would do it, something new. So we lift up ourselves, we lift up our worries, we lift up people we love, people we're concerned about. We offer them to You. And we release them into Your hands. And now, Lord, prepare us as we come to this table. Or for those who simply need to wait for whatever reason, move among us in powerful ways. In sweet and tender ways. We pray this in Your name. Amen.